All right, here we go. On a mid-April Sunday morning in Las Vegas, I guess on StreamYard you can't see me, but you can hear me today. That might be a good thing for all of you, I don't know. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage Studio, every Sunday at 8 on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, Las Vegas flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio Las Vegas. The We also includes social media director Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the win.
Spencer, unfortunately, will not be able to join the show today, but he's working from behind and making sure everything works out right. Also here, as always, producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who aside from producing and being a part of a lot of shows here at Lotus Broadcasting, Mags also serves as the locker room and post-game press conference reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network. And you can watch the show, you can watch the show. Maybe we'll see highlights and stuff on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage Studio Line, is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap, brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage, is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. RCG Home Loans, powered by Citywide Home Mortgage. Call 702-964-5720 to get information on all of the home financing options in Nevada and around the country, along with up-to-the-minute interest rates on tap.
Was our goal coming back home for these few games. You know, we want to get the wins just so we could, you know, clinch the division. And, you know, it's a great situation to be in. I think we're all very excited about playoff time and playing in front of the crowd here at home next week. So, great job by the team all year. You know, everybody bought in, and great depth on the team. Four lines, three pairs of goaltending. It takes everybody to do what we did. So now it's time for all the fun.
It's obviously an accomplishment. I mean, you play for that the whole year. So, I mean, we're excited that, we were able to do that. And clinch that, but I mean, there's no celebrating here. We know how much work is ahead of us. We've been there, we've done it. So, it's awesome, it's great. But at the end of the day, we know there's a lot more work ahead.
I do, because I'm getting older, and I know it's not that easy. So for me, it's hard to enjoy anything as a coach in season until it's all done, right? That's the way I'm wired. It's on to the next game, on to the next problem you're fixing or whatever it is, right? But I will tonight, watch a little SNL, have some laughs, and enjoy it. Tomorrow, watch the Masters, try not to think about hockey, and then get back to work, right, at night. And as for the players, the expectation, I'm sure they'll enjoy it too. They know they got work to do. This is just the beginning. So, but it's good when you have high expectations and standards. That is a good thing. Pressure. People talked about that before. Oh, pressure's on. It's like, that's good. We want the pressure on. You want to be in, like, tomorrow. I'm a golfer, right? So the pressure's on Rory and DeChambeau. Would they rather be there or sitting there at one over, teeing off at 9:30 and buzzing around? You know what I mean? Like, that's part of it. So we want. We'll welcome the pressure. That probably means you're doing well and something right. It means you're playing in high stakes games. So that's what's there for us around the corner. And that's, I think, the way we approach things. We want to be held to a standard and just have a reasonable chance to meet it. And we did.
Yeah, you just heard from Noah Hanifin, Brett Howden, and, of course, Bruce Cassidy after the Vegas Golden Knights won their fourth Pacific Division title last night in their eighth year of existence. Bruce Cassidy talking about getting old. Heck, man, he's 59. That's not that old. We'll talk all about that in a few minutes during Nightcap. The fact, this is about record-breaking hockey in college. It's the final day of the regular season in the NBA, and today is my favorite day of the year when it comes to sports because of a tradition like no other. And of course, that's the Masters. We'll be definitely breaking that down. And one of my favorite people in Las Vegas, Jim Gemma, Las Vegas Aviators Media Relations Director, will be joining the show towards the end, and we'll be giving away some Las Vegas Aviators tickets today. So stick around. Make sure you've got the studio line 876-1340 when that time comes, and you can win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Las Vegas Aviators game. That is what is on tap if you are looking to buy a home or to refinance the home you currently own. Contact RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank, or I should say powered by Citywide Home Mortgage now. Call 702-964-5720 for details on current home financing options in Nevada and around the country, including today's interest rates. And before we jump into things, I want to wish my daughter Taylor officially today. We celebrated on Friday. I don't know if Spencer's got the picture, but it was pretty cool. There it is up on the screen right now. We went to this awesome Japanese steakhouse on Eastern in Henderson, Izumi, and had a great little family dinner. Finally got to meet my son's girlfriend, my grandson's first ever experience at a hibachi steakhouse, which is really cool for a kid. I remember the first time I went, it was mesmerized. I was a little bit older than him. He just turned four a little bit ago, but Taylor, happy birthday to you. I love you. I will be celebrating a little bit later today, and I say later today because she already knows I have to watch the Masters before I can celebrate anything. I'm going home. I am setting up, and I'm locked in on Sunday. As much as I love Super Bowl Sunday and as much as I love the Final Four and March Madness, which are my two other favorite sporting events, there is nothing like Masters Sunday, especially when it's close. And again, we're going to talk about that in a little while. And right now, man, let's get right to it, because this Vegas Golden Knights team is beyond impressive, and not just this season's team. It is this franchise as a whole. Eight seasons now they've completed. They've made the playoffs 7 of 8. They've made the second round every year at least but one, and that was because they got screwed. Cody Eakin, if you remember the time he got screwed against Joel Pavelski and the San Jose Sharks, they should have gone to the second round that year as well. But really, really cool. Go ahead, Spencer. Let's get it started, man.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Here's Chris Chapman, Fox Sports Las Vegas, post-game show. First off, congratulations on winning the division. The players change every year, but this team continues to set the bar extremely high and continues to meet the expectations. How are they able to do that?
Well, I think it's a credit to the organization. They identify good players when guys do leave. Some of them are homegrown. This year you can look at a guy like Dorofeev and Korzak who have come up through the system. Other guys are brought in. Guy like Pearson with winning pedigree. Identify a guy like Olsson who we thought could be a good fit for us. You gotta fit all these guys under the cap, and some of them are established players. So that's the next thing, is the organization has built a reputation of wanting to be here. The players are well taken care of by Bill Foley and the rest of the, you know, everyone underneath them, and that they win. So players want to be around a winning environment, right? So there's a little bit of that, you know? And so that started years ago. And then you have your core guys that are back every year that have kind of laid the groundwork for the culture, the Carlsons and Knaber and, you know, Theo and Stoney's now. It's been a while, so I'm not forgetting anybody. But, you know, Smitty's back and wanted to go back, a guy who left. So, I think that's the reason. Players want to play here. It's a good place to play. It's a great building to play in. It's a great city to be around. The fan base loves, you know, the team. So you feel like you're, I don't know what the word is, you're, you know, respected as a hockey player here. And they enjoy coming to watch you, you know, do your craft. So probably all those things is what I put in.
Alexander Holtz scores a big goal for you guys tonight. Obviously, he was probably very disappointed when he went down to Henderson, but he comes back. What have you seen different from him these last few nights, and just your thoughts on his game tonight?
Well, he's a better player than when he left, so that's a positive. That's a credit to the player that goes down there, identifies that this isn't punishment. It's you're on a good hockey team, a first-place team when he left, and you got to get better if you expect to push through and grab someone's job. And it's a credit to Ryan Craig and his staff that they've kind of built in some habits into him and reinforced what we've been telling him. So good on Alex, good on the, you know, the organization down there. And what's different, I think he's a little stronger on the puck. He's a little more willing to battle for it than maybe when he first got here. So I don't know if that's comfort in the league, got confidence down there, handling the puck more. Alex can make plays with time and space. He can shoot the puck. For him, it's in traffic, making good decisions with it, finding a way to not make something out of nothing, but just have a neutral play sometimes and not allow them to get something out of nothing, right? It's almost the opposite. So you don't have to make a great play every time you're on the ice. You might not get the opportunity to make a play. So don't make one that's, you know, not a preferred one. And that's a tough sell to young guys sometimes. They want to make plays. So that's what we're trying to instill. And I've seen, you know, better puck management from him in that regard. Because the puck had found him. It found him before, too, to start here. I thought he was a little snake bit at the start, to be perfectly honest. I think he left here with 3 goals. He easily could have had 10, you know, and hit some crossbars. It just didn't go in. So good for him if he can help us win. And that works for everybody. I mean, it's the proper development curve for him if he comes back a better player. And it's good for us, you know, and it's probably good for him to know, see the difference. I think players analyze well where he was at the start of the year, where he is now.
Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable. Alexander Holtz, again, came up yesterday, got a good goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. Some of the guys are shelved right now. You didn't have Jack Eichel. You didn't have Alex Pietrangelo. You know, 2 guys that helped make them the best power play unit in the National Hockey League. But right now, they got 2 games to go, 49-22-9 on the season. They clinched the Pacific Division, as I mentioned it during What's on Tap, for the 4th time in their 8th season. They have been to the conference finals 4 times in 7 seasons, and they'll get an opportunity to go a 5th time this season. This organization is special. And being from Detroit, again, they call it Hockey Town. I have been following the NHL since the late 70s. Back, you know, just unbelievable what Las Vegas has done in just such a short period of time. And it starts with the ownership, a guy like Bill Foley, who has the money and spends it, but allows the hockey minds, the guys like George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon and Bruce Cassidy, to run the show, sits back and lets them do their job. He had a goal when they first came here in 2017 of winning the Stanley Cup in 6 years. He absolutely accomplished that goal. Is this a Stanley Cup final team? I'm not 100% sure of that. Aiden Hill's going to have to play his best hockey, as he did in 2023 in the postseason. Everyone's going to have to be healthy. They're almost healthy. Jack Eichel will be back for the playoffs. There's no word that him or Alex Pietrangelo won't be around at that time, and they're going to be needed. They're going to need every one of these guys to make a run at their 2nd Stanley Cup championship and their 3rd Stanley Cup final. It's going to be a tough road to haul. Yesterday, Chris, we go to the game. The Golden Knights jump out to a 3-1 lead after the 2nd period. They get to the 3rd period, and you and I were sitting next to each other and talking. This is a game they have to win. You know, Nashville, not a bad team. It was great, by the way, and Spencer, maybe you can show the video in the background. Jonathan Marceau, his first time in T-Mobile Arena since exiting after last season. You know, Conn Smythe winner the year they won the Stanley Cup in 2023. The probably one of the most famous and most heroic and most beloved Vegas Golden Knights since their inception in 2017. It was great to see him come back, him to get the welcome that he did. Almost brought a tear to my eye seeing him skate around. I know he was fighting him back himself. Really, really cool guy. As Chris said, he probably will be the first Vegas Golden Knight to have his number hanging from the rafters, along with all of the banners they've already got there in just 8 seasons. It's amazing. You can go to places that have been around for way longer than the Vegas Golden Knights, and they don't have the number of banners the Vegas Golden Knights do. But on top of Marchessault and what was great about seeing him, Chris, thank God Noah Hanifin scored that goal late in the 3rd period, so they didn't have to go to overtime, which would not have clinched, even if they would have won an OT, it would not have clinched the Pacific Division. Would have put a stranglehold on it, but wouldn't have clinched it. They did clinch it. They've got that behind them. But that is something, as I said for a little bit in the 3rd period, Chris, it looked like they were skating in wet cement. That just can't happen when they get to the postseason.
Well, yeah, I would say a bit of a letdown maybe in the 3rd period. You know, Nashville pushed, and it seemed like for a while they didn't really push back. But listen, you know what? It's a 60-minute game, and at the end of the day, the Golden Knights had more goals than Nashville. And at this time of year, I don't think I don't think you particularly care how the points come as long as they come. They count the same just as they do when you're playing your best hockey. Now, obviously, I think you want to be playing your best hockey going into the postseason. But if you heard Bruce Cassidy last night, he kind of said, listen, these last two games don't really matter. So I think they know where they're at. I think they know where their game is. I think that they'll be able to raise it. And listen, as of today, you're either playing the St. Louis Blues or the Minnesota Wild in the first round of the playoffs. Those are two teams that I think you are superior to. In a lot of areas, I think that's a series they should win, home ice. Listen, I mean, they've played the Wild a couple times this year. They've been better than them every time they've played. And then you've got the games with St. Louis, which always seem to be entertaining. But the Golden Knights are a better team than the St. Louis Blues. What worries me, and it's not like a major concern, but it does worry me a little bit about St. Louis, is Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is a big game goalie, and he's a good player, and he's a guy who I've taken shots at in the past, but he seems to shut me up every time. So listen, I don't really think this team has a preference, because I think in their mind they'll beat whoever's in front of them, which is a good mentality to have. But I'd rather see Minnesota. You know, I think the Wild are much more vulnerable than the Blues, who have, they won a bunch of games in a row. It was like 12 or 13 games in a row, and now they've kind of hit the skids a little bit. But they're still a good team. They're going to be in the playoffs. So at the end of the day, I think you take who's in front of you. But the good thing is the Golden Knights win the division. Now the road to the Western Conference Final will go through Vegas and Winnipeg. And I think, you know, for Vegas, you have to like the odds of, if you get to the Western Conference Final, that maybe you'll be hosting a potential Game 7, because I don't know if Winnipeg's going to get through that gauntlet that's looking at them. I think St. Louis is probably would lose to Winnipeg, but then the Jets are going to have to play the winner of the Stars and the Avalanche. So, certainly a difficult road for both teams. But I think the key for Vegas is now that they've put themselves in a position where, assuming you get through the first round, it doesn't matter if it's LA or Edmonton, they've got to come to Vegas for four games. So, good job by the Knights and closing it out when they needed to. And Noah Hanifin, listen, the guy's played it. He hit a stretch of the season early. I guess it was November, December, where he was a bit of a liability. It seemed like he was out there for almost every goal that was scored, it seemed. But he's found his game. I think being a part of the Four Nations faceoff and Team USA really gave him a ton of confidence. Look, he's a good player. And he's got he kind of explained it to me last night. I asked him about it. But he's got an ability to get a lot of shots through. And I think from a defenseman who likes to score goals and likes to put a lot of pucks on net, not having those shots blocked and go the other direction, it's a big thing. He handles the puck well at the blue line, and he gets his shots through. I think for a guy who plays the game the way he does, that's what you like. And with Alex Pietrangelo out, he's being one of the guys who's being asked to step up and be a leader. He stepped up when Shea Theodore was out and contributed on power play one. It's one of those moves by the Golden Knights that years from now, if they end up winning another Stanley Cup, you're going to look back on it and say, you know what, this was a genius move by this team, and bringing in a guy like Hanifin and getting him signed long-term was a brilliant move.
I agree 100%. Noah Hanifin, after the game, talked about the game winner, and it was huge. It was just, like I said, it was an epic goal. It gave him his 10th goal on the season, another double-digit goal scorer for the Vegas Golden Knights. But two defensemen with double-digit goals was a pretty good thing and going pretty well for your team. But after the game, this was Noah Hanifin talking about that game-winning goal.
I think we had a good little ozone shift there, a couple good looks, and I knew the time on the clock. Just trying to get the puck to the net, and that's something we've been focusing on as a decor, just getting more shots from the blue line, and fortunately we got one by on their goalie play good tonight.
Goalie did play good tonight. Barbashev added an empty netter with like 1.7 seconds to go in the game to give him his 23rd. But as you said, Chris, Noah Hanifin, just the real deal. Looking at the playoffs, I'm glad that Winnipeg would have to play potentially the winner of the Dallas and Colorado series. Colorado, just a team that has always scared me. Cale McCarr, arguably the best defenseman in the National Hockey League right now, as good as it gets. Knights. And Nathan MacKinnon, I mean, you know, people say all the time, you know, Connor McDavid, the most gifted, the best player in hockey right now, you know, and as good as it gets, there's no question about it. But, you know, Austin Matthews, of course, with Toronto right there with being the best player in the game. We've got one here in Jack Eichel. But Nathan MacKinnon, the last two seasons, has been the most valuable player in the league, and that's not a fluke. This guy is really good, one of the fastest skaters, not just now, but in the history of the National Hockey League. This guy flat out flies, is incredible with and without the puck, a good two-way player. And Colorado's going to be a tough out. And I wouldn't mind seeing them, because if they did see him, it would be in the Western Conference Final. And as you mentioned, the Vegas Golden Knights would host that series. But they're a team that's very scary. And as you said, I would rather see the Minnesota Wild. I think it would be really cool. Marc-Andre Fleury's last year. I don't know if he'll see the net at all in the postseason, but he very well could see a game. And that would be really cool if he saw a game at T-Mobile Arena, because I know the fans would go nuts for him his final season. So that would be really fitting if the Golden Knights got to play the Minnesota Wild, which right now, as it stands, they would be playing the Minnesota Wild. They've got a game left, and so does St. Louis. Now, St. Louis, after having a record, a franchise record-breaking win streak, has lost the last three in a row. That doesn't bode well for them. They're falling out of the spot. But I don't know that they wouldn't rather play Winnipeg than the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights, as a whole, as seasoned as any team gets when it comes to the postseason. You know, Noah Hanifin, again, got the opportunity to come here the season at the trading deadline of their Stanley Cup run and won a Stanley Cup with them. But these guys have so much playoff experience, cumulatively and combined, that the Vegas Golden Knights, nobody ever wants to see them in the playoffs. They just get it done. They are so solid from top to bottom. Aiden Hill, as I mentioned, I think a lot's going to fall on him. He's got to play great. It's just that simple. Schmid may be able to come in and relieve him at times, but Aiden Hill is going to be the back end of defense. And that's why you mentioned Jordan Binnington with St. Louis. What makes him so scary is he just does step up in big games. And we were talking about it last night, Chris, some of the greatest goaltenders of all time. I brought it up you know, with your guy from New Jersey, who was one of the best ever that we know. But, you know, the thing is great goaltenders step up at the right time. And I bring up all the time, he won't go down maybe as one of the greatest goalies in hockey history, but Jonathan Quick and the two runs that the LA Kings had to the Stanley Cup Finals, especially 2012, when they made the playoffs on the last day of the regular season and they went from the 8-hole to Stanley Cup champions, that was completely 100% on the back of Jonathan Quick. There is no way they get out of even the first round if it's not for that guy. He won the Conn Smythe, and deservedly so that year. He was unbelievable, and Binnington has that kind of ability to step up and take his team to heights that are unprecedented. And that's the one thing that is scary about playing a team like the St. Louis Blues. Chris, you know, Jack Eichel, we talked about him. He had 93 points 2 weeks ago. It was almost a foregone conclusion that he was going to get to 100. Now, he's hurt right now. I saw him. He handed out his jersey. They had the jersey giveaway to all the big sponsors and stuff last night. I guess the season ticket holders is what it is. But he's still stuck at that 93 points. Jack Eichel hasn't had a point in 2 weeks. He's missed a couple of games now recently. But he went for three or four games without a point. That's something that doesn't happen to Jack Eichel. Is that a concern of yours going forward into the playoffs?
No concern. I mean, listen, I think he was obviously dealing with something, and he's now recovering from whatever he was dealing with. I believe they called it an upper body injury. So, listen, I mean, he's been their best player all season. He's been the most consistent player. He was the best player on Team USA in the Four Nations faceoff. I'm not concerned in the least. He'll be fine. You know, he's not going to get to 100 points, which I guess is a little disappointing considering, you know, he would have been the first VGK player to reach that milestone. And it would have been the first milestone or first time in his career that he would have reached 100 points. But I'm not concerned. I mean, these guys know what they're doing. These guys are the core group of this franchise has won a Stanley Cup. You've got guys like Alex Pietrangelo who've won multiple. So, no, I'm not too worried about it. He'll be fine.
I hope he will be. A couple of other milestones, speaking of those. It would be really nice to see Mark Stone get to 20 goals again. He's got one more goal to get, two games to get it. I sure hope he does. And, you know, Braden McNabb now with his plus 40, Chris, that is tied for second in the National Hockey League. I mean, you know, you know, and you're talking about a guy that's getting into his mid-30s, one of the first original four misfits, so to speak, that arrived in Las Vegas. I had no idea who he was when I met him at the Armory at T-Mobile Arena in 2017. I surely know who he is now. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm at the Galleria Mall, and I'm in the sport. They had the sporting collectible store. It's gone now. And if I spent $100, I got an autographed puck from one of the Vegas Golden Knights. So I made sure to spend the $100, and it happened to be Braden McNabb. That puck is so much more valuable to me now than it was then.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy is just, you know, I don't know that he'll get his number retired by the Vegas Golden Knight, Chris, but you want to, I talk about it all the time. When you say blue collar, that term might be overused in sports. Braden McNabb is a blue collar defenseman. He is a guy that, you know, if it wasn't for his teammate Alec Martinez, he would have led the league in shot block shots every year. He just goes out there, gets the job done. And Chris, it seems like he's never injured. He's always on the ice. We talk a lot about him on this show, but you know what? Along with William Karlsson, he is one of my favorite players in this team.
Well, he's certainly tough and he's reliable. And what doesn't get talked about enough is how intelligent of a player he is. He never puts himself in a bad situation. You know, sometimes he may get beat because a guy's a little bit quicker or more agile. But Braden McNabb never makes a stupid play. Like, you don't see him doing stupid things, which I think...
A la Shea Theodore.
For a defenseman... You know, is really important, especially a defensive defenseman. You know, one of the early conversations I had with him was about how his game changed from, you know, when he was coming up through the minors, he and juniors, he was a guy who scored a lot of, a bit like Nick Hague, a guy who scored a lot of goals. But McNabb realized early in his career in the NHL, I don't know if it was when he was with the Sabres or with the Kings, but a guy who realized early on that he was going to have to adjust the way he played because he wasn't going to score 20 goals in the NHL. He wasn't going to score double-digit goals. So he became that stay-at-home defenseman. And listen, you talk about hard work. The kid grew – kid, he's not a kid. I mean, he's in his 30s. But he grew up on a farm, you know, and his mom – I would assume his mother and father instilled a really strong work ethic in him at a young age. And because, I know some farm kids and – you know, they all grew up with that mentality that, you know what, you're up at the ass crack of dawn and you're out doing whatever it is your mom and dad are asking of you, whether it's feeding the horses or plowing or, you know, digging holes in the ground. You know, you're doing something and you're working until the sun goes down, and it's a tough life. But, you know, we obviously need farmers. You know, so kudos to them. And like I said, I would imagine that his mother and father have instilled a really strong work ethic in him when he was a young guy. And he's been able to translate that to being a professional hockey player. And you can see, you know, he's obviously a guy who understands the game quite well. And, you know, I always wonder for guys like him, because he hasn't really delivered the big checks this year that he did in the past. And, you know, that's an adjustment in his game. Maybe Nick Hague is now that guy, or Zach Whitecloud delivers some big hits every once in a while. But, like, I always wonder if the game slows down for him when he sees a player coming down the near boards. You know, you don't see it as much anymore. Word must have gotten out that you're going to get run over by a tractor if you come down the near boards on McNabb. But, you know, the funny thing is, like, I always want to ask him, and I just always forget, but, like, does the game slow down? Like, does it go in slow motion? Like, when that guy's trying to get past you on the boards. And we talked about, you know, one of the times I had a conversation with him, we talked about, you know, the little art form of delivering a big hit like that. And a lot of it's timing. Because, you know, if you mistime that, the guy's either getting past you or you're taking a penalty.
And as you said earlier, and positioning.
Yeah, positioning, you know, and that goes to having the IQ.
Yeah.
So I think when you combine a guy who's got a really high IQ and understanding of the game, a guy who's been in the league, I mean, he's played over 800 in the NHL. So obviously everything he's done right. I like him. I've always enjoyed chatting with him. And the funny thing is, like, I think when he got here, he was a little green with the media, because you play in Los Angeles, you're overshadowed by guys like Drew Doughty. And you probably don't talk to the media a lot because, you know, you're a defensive defenseman. But here, he's a favorite with the media because he's so intellectual and he's very thoughtful and he's very easy to talk to. And listen, I love talking to the guy. Like, he was the first guy I talked to on the ice after they won the Stanley Cup. It's like I could have talked to anybody, and it was Brady McNabb. So, I think he's a great player. Like, he's obviously not a Hall of Fame player, not a guy who's going to have his jersey retired. But if you understand the game and you enjoy the game, he's a guy you really, really like. And, you know, I hope he gets to 1,000 games because that would be absolutely incredible for Brady McNabb to get to 1,000 games. He's not that far away.
True Vegas Golden Knights fans, like true Red Wings fans in Detroit, you remember players like Brayden McNabb. He will be remembered for eternity when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights as one of the original players, one of the first guys to get here. Again, he got an assist last night, which gave him his 15th point in the season. The plus 40 is absolutely incredible when you realize how hard that is to be on the ice all the time when good things are happening. That's what that says. When you have a plus 40, you're on the ice when your team's scoring and you're not getting scored against. One of those guys, again, no one would ever say Brayden McNabb's an enforcer, but there's a reason you don't see too many guys fight Brayden McNabb. He's one of those guys, if you got into a fight, you'd want standing behind you. And he's one of those guys, if you went into a dark alley, you wouldn't want to be going up against. Brayden McNabb is a quiet assassin on this team. Again, does all the dirty work that is necessary to play winning hockey. And his teammates love him, Chris. The media loves him. A guy that is soft-spoken but has a lot to say. And as you mentioned, very intellectual and an extremely high hockey IQ. One of my favorite Golden Knights. And if the Golden Knights win the Stanley Cup this year or get back or make a run, guys like Brayden McNabb will be tremendous contributors on the ice, doing the little things that it takes to make them win. They've got two more games on the road before they call it a quits. As Bruce Cassidy mentioned, which was a little bit surprising, that these games really don't mean anything. They're not going to change anything. I get it. I get what he was saying. But, you know, it's a chance to maybe look at a few things, try out a few different lines, see if you can get any other chemistry, you know, get Riley Smith more into the mix. He talked about him coming back last night and, you know, coming back to the Golden Knights. That, you know, they were going in a different direction when they let Riley go a couple of years ago. And now Riley Smith, you know, after the Stanley Cup run, they let him go the following season. Here he's back with this team, a popular player in the locker room, an original Vegas Golden Knight, and a guy that will help them in the playoffs. The playoffs, which is really unique at this time, and both the NBA going into the final game today, the final couple games in the NHL, both those leagues right now, they're the teams that are going to play after the regular season ends is already set. There's nothing. It's just a matter of positioning in both those leagues. And again, as we've talked about, the Vegas Golden Knights will start their playoffs, I believe, next Sunday on Easter Sunday. It'll be either against the Minnesota Wild or the St. Louis Blues. It will be at T-Mobile Arena, and I'm excited for that. One of the things that I finally, to end this segment, to mention with Colorado is we talk about a scary team going into the postseason. You know, they're getting back Landeskog, Chris. The guy hasn't played in 3 years, basically. A little bit of AHL hockey. But, you know, when he did play, before he got hurt and before he went away, this guy was one of the better players in the National Hockey League, a guy that Colorado counted on. And behind like guys like Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, this was one of the main guys for Colorado. I don't think it's going to be a great lift for them on the ice as far as, you know, will he come in and make a huge impact? The impact is his presence alone. When you've got a seasoned veteran that's won a Stanley Cup, that has played in a ton of postseason games, and he comes back right now towards the postseason as Colorado gets in, that is an emotional lift, and it's different than just saying, okay, he's going to come in and score a bunch of goals. He could have a big impact, but I think his impact is more in the locker room and the fact that you got a seasoned veteran back.
Well, I mean, he's one of the leaders on that team. And, you know, along with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, certainly one of their top players, I think he's going to have I think he's going to contribute. I don't think a guy like that comes back if he feels he's not going to. I mean, it's been almost 2 years since he's played. We'll see, you know, is his speed there? You know, it's one thing because I know he scored a goal against the Silver Knights.
Yep.
So it's one thing if, you know, you could do it against the, you know, in the AHL, but you got to start somewhere. And if he's the player he was before he got hurt, I mean, the Colorado Avalanche all of a sudden become a serious threat in the Western Conference. I think for Dallas, probably not the news you want to see that Gabe Landeskog is coming back. and maybe you get that emotional boost for game one. I don't think that'll carry over a seven-game series, but in a series that's going to be as tight as that one is, one period or one game could make a difference in who ends up advancing into the second round of the playoffs. I'll say this. I'm glad the Golden Knights aren't in the Central and have to play one of those two teams in the first round.
I agree. And, you know, to me, Landeskog, he's like the Steven Stamkos of the Tampa Bay team that won it, where Nikita Kucherov is more like Nathan MacKinnon, but he was the Stamkos, a guy that is disruptive, a guy that puts the puck in the net, and a guy that is not afraid to mix it up. Landeskog can take a hit. He's not really known as a physical player, so to speak, but he could take a hit and get it done.
He's got that, yeah. I mean, he's got that in his game. It's obviously a big boost for Colorado, and you know, obviously I'm not going to say I'm rooting for him or the Avalanche, but you like to see him come back like to see that story. The most important thing is hopefully he stays healthy and he's able to contribute and help that team.
Except if they're playing the Vegas Golden Knights, but yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I think that's it, right? But you know, the funny thing is Pete DeBoer kind of has Colorado's number, so.
He does, so we'll see what happens. Speaking of hockey, man, something happened last night that was historic, and go ahead, Spencer, hit fact this.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact. Hockey history was made yesterday in college hockey's Frozen Four. This happened when the Western Michigan University Broncos beat the Terriers of Boston University 6-2 in the national championship game. We were watching at T-Mobile Arena. I was watching next to me. Stephen Marsh was sitting next to me, and he was playing it on his computer, so I got to watch the game. They were already ahead when I saw it, but this is monumental. I mean, yes, Western came into the hockey playoffs as the fourth ranked team. They beat Denver to get to the championship. Denver, of course, the reigning national champions, and a team that got beat by UNLV's hockey club earlier in the year, which was also historic. But it is really cool to see Western Michigan. They've always had a decent hockey program, never this caliber. This kid, Owen Michaels, man, two goals in both the national semifinals against Denver and also in the national championship game. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to go back and watch it again. But I'll tell you what, hats off to the Western Michigan Broncos. That is a monumental win by, I don't think before this season anyone knew who the hell Western Michigan was. And if you did, you didn't even know they had a hockey team. And it was funny, we were looking at all, it makes you look, last night Chris Wynn kept coming up and showing us different alumni from Western Michigan. No idea that John Sanders of ESPN and, of course, a national prominence played hockey at Western Michigan, and we saw the picture of him, and I'm like, man, I wonder, I think in hockey they've always had to wear helmets in college. I don't know how one fit over his head. He had an afro that went from here to the ceiling. He looked like Link on the Mob Squad from years ago with this giant afro, but it was really cool, and hats off to Western Michigan. They deserve to be mentioned on the show, and they just were. So final day of the NBA regular season, similar to as the NHL winds down, most teams have 1 to 2 games left. Kind of disturbing that today is Colorado's last game, and they get like a full week rest before the playoffs. But in the NBA, just like in the NHL, the top 10 teams in each conference are set. It's all about positioning now and trying to avoid the play-in game. You want to be one of the top 6 seeds so you're guaranteed to play in the playoffs. But it's going to be interesting, and probably the biggest game today, the L.A. Clippers against the Golden State Warriors. And Steph Curry, man, re-injured his thumb, that sprained thumb. They say he's going to play with it, but it's a big injury. I mean, Steph Curry with maybe the most the prolific scorer in NBA history, and they need this guy. I don't know how much the thumb will affect him, but it's got to affect your shot. It's got to affect his dribbling ability. He's never really been known for his defensive play, but it's going to be interesting today. And again, that's the game of the day, is the NBA today. The season will wrap up and they start their playoffs this week. And my Detroit Pistons are going to be in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And hats off to them and the job that's been done in Detroit this year. That is a fun team to watch. And let me tell you, there's not a team in the NBA that is going to look forward to playing them. I don't know that the Pistons can get out of the first rounds. I think they can take out a team like the New York Knicks, but just the fact that they're there, they're a fun team to watch, and again, I love what I see. And Cade Cunningham is a guy, when he was drafted number one a couple of years ago, I shook my head and I said, here we go again. This team's going nowhere. I stand fully corrected. Cade Cunningham is an elite player in the National Basketball Association. He is going to be a perennial all-star from this point going forward. And I didn't see it coming. So I love the chance that I get to talk about them. But now I want to talk about the Masters. And before we even get into it, it's funny because Bruce Cassidy, we talked a lot about the Knights. Bruce Cassidy was talking about the Masters. He's in a pool. He has Bryson DeChambeau, who it's really tough because Rory hasn't won a major since 2014. He won two that year. So you kind of want him, and this will complete the career slam for Rory McIlroy. Finished second a couple times in the Master, but hasn't won it. But then again, Bryson DeChambeau, one of the most technically sound golfers in the world. This guy studies the game. He literally fabricates his own golf clubs, and he hits more balls on the range than anybody, like 100-plus more than anybody. He was out there last night. I was watching ESPN Sports Center today. He was out there last night hitting golf balls. He's incredible. But before we play, we'll hear from both Bryson DeChambeau and Rory in a second. But if you can, Spencer, go ahead and play the clip of Bruce Cassidy. Bruce was a lot of fun last night. You could tell he was really happy, and the weight is off of him for winning the Pacific Division for the fourth time. So he kind of let his hair down and talked about the Masters a little bit last night.
I do a pool with some buddies back in Chicago, and I have DeChambeau. I think it's, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to ramble here, but I think it's Rory's tournament. I think it's his year, but you only pick a guy once. So the live guys, you have to be careful when you use them, right? Probably in the majors. So here we are. I think Rory, I've had lots of opportunities to use him in other tournaments, so it's a little bit of a strategic pick. So I think Rory's going to win. I'm, selfishly rooting for DeChambeau for my pool.
Right. He also mentioned Kerry Connor, who the Canadian is sitting in third. He's 8-under, 4 back. But the run by Bryson Corey, first of all, scored a 66 yesterday, which was the low round of the day. Another guy that scored a 66, I think it was Justin Thomas. I'd have to go back and look. He barely made the cut at +2, which was the cut line, and he's 4-under now. He went 6-under, too. Corey went so low. I should say Rory. No, I'm saying Corey. Rory went so low yesterday at the beginning. Just started off with hitting a bomb putt on the first hole. I think 5 straight threes, which was a record at the Masters, either tied or broke a record. He was on fire yesterday. A lot of fun to watch. But the closeout of Bryson DeChambeau at the end. Bryson DeChambeau going to the 15th hole was -8. He ended up -10, went 2-under and in the last couple holes. But let me tell you something right now. The bomb he hit on 18 was just incredible. And he was hitting bombs. He had a bomb on the first hole as well to go right after to immediately tie Justin Rose, who kind of fell off the chart yesterday. Really sad for him because Justin playing real well, leader after first and second round. He shot a 75 yesterday. He's still 5-under, but that's almost too far behind when you're 5-under and the leader is 12-under. It's going to be hard and Justin Rose would have to play like he did in day one when he shot a 65. And I don't even know that that would be good enough if he went 7-under today to win it, just because, you got Rory and Bryson, who are both going to play really well. After yesterday's round, you heard from both Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy. And the thing is, Bryson DeChambeau has a following in a very minor way, like Happy Gilmore. The crowd follows him around. They get loud, and Bryson likes that. He high-fives and everyone. And that may be a little bit of a distraction for Rory. The two of them have never played together. They've never been paired in a major until today. And what a time to be paired in a major on Sunday at the Masters. And this was both of them after that round.
It'll be the grandest stage that we've had in a long time, and I'm excited for it. We both want to win really, really badly. And it's, there's a lot of great players behind us, too. Got to be mindful of that and focus on it's about who can control themselves, who can execute the golf shots the best. And in regards to the patrons, it's going to be an electric atmosphere.
Tomorrow when that final grip's going to be, it's going to be a little rowdy and a little loud, and I'm just going to have to, settle in and, really try to, keep myself in my own little bubble and keep my head down and, sort of approach tomorrow with the same attitude that I've tried to approach the last 3 days with.
And again, Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy talking about it. And Rory, you could tell, you could hear there's a little kink in the armor playing with Bryson. Bryson is a very popular U.S. player. It's not that Rory's not popular. The fans love Rory too, but it's going to be tough. And Bryson just keeps charging, man. This is a guy that you can't sleep on for a second. And two strokes in front of him is by no means safe. The guy probably the most disappointing, Scottie Scheffler, shot a par 72 yesterday. Hasn't gone under 70 since the opening round. He shot a 68 in the opening round. It's going to be tough for him to make a run, but I would say five under, those guys that are five under have an outside shot. And I misspoke. I said it was Justin Thomas. It was actually Zach Johnson that went really low yesterday, that shot six, that went 66 yesterday, six under, and he is at four under when he just barely made the cut. I think four under, eight back is a little too far back. I think seven back is probably as far as it goes. And you've got Justin Rose still there at seven back. Sean Lowry, who has won a British Open and a guy that can play really well. And, of course, Scottie Scheffler, because he's seven out, I won't count him out because this guy can absolutely put together a really low score today. And one of the greatest putters, not just right now of his generation, but in history. When Scottie Scheffler's blade is on, I've never seen anybody better. It's Tiger Woods-esque. And pretty interesting, though. But again, Kerry Connors, a guy, a Canadian, eight under. He's four back. Somebody to look out for, having a great tournament. 68, very consistent. 68, 70, 70 in his three rounds. And then you got Patrick Reed and Auberg, who's a really good player as well. And those guys are six back. They're tied for fourth place. But I really think this is a two-man show. I do. I think it's going to be Rory and Bryson battling right to the last hole. Amen corner, man. They're both going to say amen when they get around it, if they can flirt. Amen corner messed with Corey on messed with Rory on day one, but then of course he navigated back-to-back 66s after shooting a par on in the first round. I am looking so forward to the Masters. I can't tell you, and I think everyone else is too, but I say all the time, my favorite Sunday, my favorite day in sports, as much as I love the Super Bowl and the NFL playoffs, as much as I love the NCAA tournament and the Final Four, which is my other two that are very close to be it, it's Sunday at the Masters, Chris. I love Sundays at the Masters. I love what happens. And you just never know what you're going to see. I mean, that is, when I say bucket list, sports bucket list, Chris, that sits up top of not even just getting to cover it, just getting to go to the Masters. I wouldn't give a crap if it was on Wednesday, the par 3 day. There's just something special about this golf tournament.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the more key sporting events of the year, and certainly today is one of the days that a lot of people will sit down and, you know, like Bruce Cassidy said, watch a lot of golf. Even casual fans will pay attention to the Masters. You know, there's just so much cool stuff about it. My favorite part of it is seeing the menu every year at the Champions Dinner.
Because it's picked out by the winner of the guy who won.
Yeah, and like seeing what my guy Matsuyama was on his. It's like he had Wagyu steak and, you know, sushi, and I'm like, you know what? That's my type of meal right there.
I think if I'm Scottie Scheffler, what I'm picking out is I'm picking out something that's going to make everyone very gassy, and then you don't eat it yourself. You bring in a secret lunchbox, and you get something that's going to cause upset stomachs, because at 500, I think that's the only way he gets back into the tournament. But I am so incredibly excited about today. And again, you've got two of the greatest golfers in the world going head-to-head in the final round. And you will see a boisterous, noisy crowd, because, again, Bryson DeChambeau promotes that. He likes it. He doesn't get rattled like a lot of golfers. He did early on in his career. He would get upset with himself and probably beat himself up more than anybody else. But now that he's really settled in and he has figured out the game, figured out his role, he settles in. He doesn't mind the crowd. He's always high-fiving fans as he goes around, and I really like where Rory is just a serious golfer. Rory is the epitome of old school. He wants it quiet when he's at the tee box. He doesn't give anybody high fives during the round. Not that he's a jerk or anything like that. Corey, I've never met or interviewed Rory McIlroy, but I've heard he's just the epitome of a professional. He does his job. He gets around the course and does what he has to do, and he loves the PGA Tour. He loves playing it, and again, he hasn't won a major since 2014, so it is big time for Rory to get to this position and be the leader going into Sunday, a two-stack lead. But again, I don't know why. I just think Bryson DeChambeau is going to find a way to win this tournament. I know Bruce Cassidy said it's Rory's tournament, and it is, to win or lose. He's got a 2-stroke lead on Sunday, and this guy is not a guy that falters. He's not a guy that's going to choke on a Sunday. Rory McIlroy can get the job done, and he wants this so bad because, again, it will give him the career grand slam. He's won all the other three majors. This is the one that's eluded him, and he wants it more than anything right now. So I hope for his sake that he plays well. Again, I internally just want to see this Bryson pull it off. But again, if Rory wins it, I wouldn't be that upset about it. I just don't want Scottie Scheffler to come from 5-under and find a way to win his third Masters in 4 years. That would bother me. Of course, he sandwiched in between John Rahm's Masters 2 years ago. I don't know, man. I'm like I said, I'm extremely excited. My poor daughter has to wait to celebrate her birthday till the Masters is done. We're going to have dinner tonight. She'll get her gifts. She'll get her cake, but not until the Masters is done. And so, again, teeing off right now, I think in about a half hour, you get to start watching the coverage of the guys that tee off early on the Golf Channel. But then you'll switch over in a little while, and it will be on Fox, and it is going to be really, really exciting. I'm looking very forward to it. Joining us now, I don't know if he's got an opinion on the Masters today, but good friend, the media relations director for the Las Vegas Aviators, Jim Gemma, and the Aviators out of town. They're wrapping up their road trip today in El Paso against one of my favorite nicknames of all teams, the Chihuahuas. But they'll be back to play Sugar Land for 6 games. We're going to give away some tickets. Matter of fact, you can give a call right now if you want to 702-876-1340. We'll give you a pair of tickets to any game this coming week against Sugarland. Pick out any of the 6 games. You get a pair of tickets. Right now, Jim Gemma is joining the show. Jimmy, before we get to the Aviators, you got an opinion on the Masters today?
Well, I mean, the Masters is a great event. It always moves the goalposts.
It does. There's a lot of adversity out there today on the golf course. Again, who's your pick? I got to get your pick. Who are you picking to win it?
Gosh, you know, I've been following it not a lot, so I just can't give an opinion because I just haven't been following it closely with all this baseball stuff going on, unfortunately.
You are one of the busiest guys in
life. I know. It's a terrible answer. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll let you off the hook on that one. Yeah, but Jimmy, you do have, I mean, I get as many emails from you as anybody. You are always on top of things with the Aviators, and I say you do the job as good as anybody in this town. And Aviators right now, a good ball team, the AAA franchise of the A's, getting ready to come back home and play Sugar Land, the AAA franchise of the Houston Astros. Talk about this team this year, and then also some of the great events that you've got coming up, because nobody runs more specials than the Aviators. And again, the greatest minor league ballpark in the country is up in northern Las Vegas, which is up just outside of Summerlin, next to the Red Rock Casino. The Las Vegas Ballpark, a beautiful facility. If you haven't been out there, they've got a pool out there and a great place to watch a ball game. Talk about this team and some of the promotions you guys got coming up.
Yeah, I mean, the team's played great coming out of the gates, 9-5. But, you know, the landscape of AAA, I mean, they already pulled our number one starter, JT Ginn, up. He actually beat the Mets yesterday. So, I mean, 2 weeks from now, it could be very different. But right now, the team, we have a lot of good players on there. Obviously, Nick Kurtz leads all the minor leagues with 7 home runs and 21 RBI. So, yeah, but this week it'll be good. We're playing Sugar Land or the AAA affiliate of the Astros. They're defending PCL and AAA champ. So we have actually a school day game on Tuesday at 11 a.m. We haven't done this since the pandemic. So, you know, we have fifth graders out for a while. And then, you know, we're back to night games, 6:35 on Wednesday and Thursday, $2 beer night, I should say. Our next fireworks show is this coming Friday at 7:05 against Sugarland, of course. It's a 6-game series Tuesday through Sunday. Anyone wants to check our promotional schedule or get tickets, all that good stuff, it's on aviatorslv.com.
Yeah, aviatorslv.com. Go get tickets to the game. You get a chance to win them here. We're going to be doing some giveaways over the next couple weeks and over the course of the season. And I want to congratulate Mike. I think it's Frednecks or Fredericks. Fredericks. Mike Fredericks won the Aviators tickets. Mike, I'll be giving you a call probably, I would say today, but it's going to be tomorrow because I'm not doing anything but watching the Masters today. Jimmy, excited for a season out there at the Las Vegas ballpark. And again, the $2 beer nights, the firework Friday nights, the school days are back for the first time since the pandemic. I'm looking forward to it. It is always a great time out there. And even in the heat of the summer, man, it's just a great night, a beautiful atmosphere. And again, it is the nicest minor league facility in the country. You got to get out there and see. It's a major league atmosphere in a minor league setting, and really enjoy it. Jimmy, as always, man, appreciate you joining the show.
Brian, thanks for always having me on and your coverage of the Aviators. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me out there. I get fed, and I love it, man. You sit out there, just beautiful summer nights in Las Vegas. And again, that was Jim Gemma. He is the media relations director for the Las Vegas Aviators. Always a friend of the show and takes care of us. And again, next week I'm going to be giving away a family four-pack of tickets. So definitely make sure you tune in then. A chance for you to win four tickets to go see a Las Vegas Aviators game. We're just about out of time. As I wrap up again today, congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights for winning their fourth Pacific Division crown in 8 years of existence. Again, it's unprecedented. 7 out of 8 years making the playoffs, 4 times making it to the Western Conference finals. If they do it, that'll be the 5th time this year in 8 seasons. I've never, ever seen a start like this to any franchise in history. I don't know that there has been one. I believe it's unprecedented, and it's really, really cool. So congratulations to that. Again, today is the final day for the NBA. They'll be wrapping up all kinds of positioning moves and the NHL. Most teams have 1 or 2 games left. Same there. A few positioning changes, but all the games are set, man. So really, really cool. Appreciate Chris Wynn for listening and chiming in, as he always does, man. One of my favorite people in Vegas. For myself, Brian Feldman, I want to thank Jimmy Gemma for joining the show. Wouldn't be able to do this without the Wiz. Spencer Ostrowski out of town, back in town next week, so you'll get to see and hear him on the show. And of course, Chris Magnum Chapman, producer extraordinaire and locker room and post-game reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. Wouldn't be able to do it without him as well. We'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place, right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. That's all for now. Happy birthday, Taylor. We'll see you in a little bit, and we'll celebrate after the Masters. Bye-bye.